right. Thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Say it now or forever hold your peace. Well, hold your peace for 2 days. But so say it now or temporarily hold your peace. You got this hour. And, of course, on Midday Mobile today, which, by the way, so at noon today on Midday Mobile, the subject, CBD, of course, has probably driven lately more downloads of podcasts of shows we've done around here, more phone calls, more emails, more people coming in person asking us questions. It was a few months ago, or just a couple months ago, had Terry Brighton and Jennifer Adkins in talking about CBD and that. What they're doing, they're a distributor for CBD products, Azalea City Hand and Rehab. Also studied the issue and started moving forward with this after the Farm Bill came out and defined the 0.003% I think 0.03%. Mm-hmm. I may have 10 wrong there, as being legal for the percentage of THC that could be in something called CBD, and that is what has a lot of people, you know, saying, okay, it's legal now. They can buy it, and they're seeing if they can use it to help their aches and pains out there. Nice thing is, Terry has studied this for a long time. He's going to join us again at noon today. And so you got questions about this, the legalities and the health questions. Does it work for this, that, or the other? He'll give you his opinion. And I'll kind of moderate that starting at noon today on Midday Mobile. So if you'll, if you want to go ahead and put this in your contacts, if you're going to be calling or texting, 343-0106, put that down for FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, I've never, well, that would be wrong to say, I've never seen anything like this because we've seen trends take off before, but this CBD.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. I mean, they've got everything, skin creams, even dog treats. They've got basically, got something for everyone now with CBD. And
right,
of course,
so is it a, I'm going to ask Terry this like I asked him last time, is this a snake oil? Because when I start hearing something does everything, you know, I kind of roll my eyes. Okay, no, I don't kind of. I roll my eyes.
And then did you see it's causing some problems? There was a great-grandmother, a 69-year-old woman arrested at Disney World for bringing CBD in. She had it in her purse, and Disney World apparently didn't get the memo and arrested her for bringing that CBD oil into Disney World. So there's a lot of confusion about this because I know a lot of people that haven't paid much attention just assume that it is something that gets you high, that it's a, a part of like the marijuana plant, and
which, by the way, Senate yesterday approved medical marijuana. They passed a medical marijuana bill in the Senate. That didn't mean it's going to pass as a law, but they passed it in the Senate yesterday in Montgomery.
But yeah, this Hester Burkhalter, 69 years old, arrested at Disney World, one of those checkpoints we all know of when we go into Disney World parks in Orlando. But she was arrested on April 15th. Security officers believed she had illegal narcotics, believed to be THC oil, but it was just CBD oil. So I'm sure those will be some of the questions you ask this afternoon in that interview.
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing what would it be like if the police inside Disney, if their enforcement had to be dressed like characters like the rest of them, like if, you know, with the Disney, there's a few Disney police characters over time. If they would have their security force there in costume,
yeah, that would be awesome. Maybe a, well, no, that'd be Universal. I went Bugs Bunny with it. So.
No, so yeah, I looked at Chief O'Hara was one, Chief Bogo. Disney's had some police characters, so if they would go ahead and have them in uniform, police uniform, but also in character. They can't talk, but they could write things down and gesture angrily to people.
They have to do that.
Top three things, three big things, top stories on our website at fmtalk1065.com. One of them has a lot of people talking here in the state, also nationally, about the Alabama abortion ban vote delayed after shouting breaks out. Alabama lawmakers yesterday postponed a vote on a proposed abortion ban after anger erupted in the state Senate when some Republicans stripped an exception out of that bill, that Susan Collins bill, for rape and incest. And then, well, I'll tell you what, let's just go to the extended audio here. It sounded like this yesterday as this move was made in the Senate.
In favor, say aye.
No,
any opposed?
Ho, 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 ho.
Motion passes. Committee
Mr.
amendment
Chairman,
is tabled.
Senator Chambliss. There was no motion. There was no motion.
There was a motion.
There
he made a motion.
He didn't even make a motion, Mr. President.
Hold on. Excuse
me. Did not make a motion.
He made a motion to table.
He did not make a motion. There was no motion from the other side.
He made a motion to table. Senator.
Heck no. He didn't even make a motion.
Senator
Chambliss. He did not make a motion.
He made a motion to table.
What was the motion made?
The motion.
No motion was made. You just.
Excuse me. Senator Chambliss, you're recognized.
I don't care what the chair is about.
Thank you, Mr.
He did not make a motion.
In response to.
So there's a sausage getting made. By the way, too, I think I said Susan Collins. I meant Terry Collins. Susan Collins, not from Alabama.
No.
Terry Collins is. So, yeah, there's some of the shouting that broke out. Here's a quote from Democratic Senator Bobby Singleton, or as he was named on a Chiron on TV station, Booby Singleton.
Yeah, that'd be wrong.
Yeah, it's Bobby. It's B-O-B-B-Y.
Not you, B-O-O-B-Y.
That would be something that would be... Maybe he goes by the nickname, but his name, like... Is Bobby, Senator Bobby Singleton, said, you've got men, you got 27 men over there on the other side ready to tell women what they can't, what they can do with their bodies. You don't have to procedurally just try to railroad us. Now, Republican Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth said the legislative procedures were properly followed. Okay, let's talk about, because here's the problem. Everybody runs to their corners and you don't get truth on this. You just get reinforced beliefs. So, first of all, Terry Collins' bill, the abortion bill in Alabama, is similar to that in five or six other states. This bill is an attempt to bring a law that will be immediately challenged and get to the Supreme Court. It's just how the process works. It's a process to try to have the question of overturning Roe versus Wade in front of SCOTUS.
Okay? Right.
These are the steps. This is the first step. The Alabama and other states that we have conservatives in control of the House and Senate and in control of the governor's office, they're going to try to get a law like this through, knowing that as soon as it sees the light of day, you'll have a challenge. That challenge will then go through the circuit process, and hopefully the end game is to get it to the Supreme Court.
So you've got a lot of different states doing this, hoping that at least one of them, one of their cases, makes it all the way up to the highest. And
correct.
Now with that conservative bent to the Supreme Court, that maybe Roe versus Wade would be overturned.
Right. So that is the idea here. But what happened yesterday is a procedural move by the Republicans, okay? I mean, it is a... I think somebody said out there that the Democrats were slipping and the Republicans did like a trick play. Not an illegal play, but a trick play here. A legislative maneuver when they stripped out the rape and incest exemption, okay? So, I'll say, they did not break the law or even the rules of... The way I understand it, the rules of the Alabama Senate in doing that. What they did, though, was disingenuous, okay? I mean, it was not something that was going to be... So, I mean, absolutely, the people on the left and people that are all upset with Republicans in Alabama and this law, they're saying they broke... They didn't. They didn't break the law. But I can also say they tried an end around. Sure, sure. I mean, if you don't see that, you're not being honest. That doesn't say where you fall on being, pro-life or pro-choice. But honestly, they pulled a maneuver that was legal, but they pulled this maneuver to try to strip rape and incest out. Now, why would they do that? This is what's not being discussed in media. Why would the Republicans do that? Let's go back to the first thing I said. They want to have a challenge. They want to get a case in front of SCOTUS to try to overturn Roe versus Wade. The more of these things you can put in, the better you're going to be the first to be challenged.
Yeah.
Okay? If a bill comes out that has no exception for rape or incest, although we can sit down and make an argument about that, but we're not going to turn this into we've hashed out this subject over so many years on the show. We'll get mired in that. I think everybody's pretty galvanized where their beliefs are on this.
Yeah, we're discussing the political intent,
right,
because of this bill.
I think everybody, everybody's kind of lined up in their camps on it. So let's talk about the X's and O's of the strategy here. And if you take out the exemption for rape and incest, it gives it an even better chance that somebody is going to quickly challenge the law in Alabama. So that is the purpose of that. The purpose of it is that Alabama, Terry Collins, although she has said this morning if the rape and incest are taken out, that she's going to drop the bill entirely. But the point is they're not actually making this a law, which is kind of weird, but they're not making it because they think it's going to apply. They're making it because they want it to be carried on and challenge federal law.
And the issue where, and I think that was Bobby Singleton yelling in that.
Bobby
Singleton, according to a local TV station. Right. And Singleton, his main issue was that, like you said, they kind of, the Republicans did this dipsy-doo after, we've been talking about this for weeks now. I mean, we knew that abortion was coming up during this session, and for the last few weeks, you know, every headline we've had, or at least the last week, is they've passed this abortion bill with exceptions for rape and incest and if it would harm the health of the mother. And then they were going to pass this through really quickly there, and you heard Singleton kind of erupt there during that meeting, and he said he had no chance to react to the move. And of course, the more noise that Singleton can make in national media and state media, the more eyes will be put on this, and the worse it will look for the Republicans, because it's apparent, if you heard the pacing of that audio clip, that they were trying to rush this through.
Sure they were. Sure they were.
With as few comments from Democrats as they could get.
That's right. And but yeah, here's Representative Terry Collins said she will drop her abortion ban bill if the rape incest exceptions are added. Mac, and so they will begin debating again on Tuesday in Montgomery on this. Of course, regular legislative sessions Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays in Montgomery, so they'll pick back up on Tuesday with this, but there'll be a lot of chance to talk about this and hash and rehash and triple hash and chopped, smothered, and covered between now and Tuesday. We'll get your take on it as well at 343-0106. So that's one of the stories we're talking about this hour. Also, do you feel the difference? You feel in there? Tariffs in effect? More tariffs on China?
It felt tariffy today.
It felt very tariffy. U.S. hikes tariffs on Chinese goods. We'll talk about whether this is just a Wall Street thing or it's a thing that's going to affect you with your family budget and what you think about that. And plus, North Korea fires missiles that seem to have the Made in Russia label on them. What does that all mean? Coming right back. Grabbing calls and talking about this right here on Mobile Mornings, 343-0106. Plus your chance at tickets for Widespread Panic. Before you can buy them, they go on sale at 9 this morning. We've got a shot for you to win tickets coming up this hour right here on FM Talk 106.5. Right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Friday style. Glad to have you here. Dr. Bill doesn't have a lot of good news for us. Pretty heavy duty rain showers, hail, thunderstorms, all that kind of stuff draping through Louisiana into Mississippi and central Alabama heading our way. But slowly, that's the thing that's leading to the flooding, is those storms are kind of training through the same area. So when they get here, they'll do that as well. So effect to our weather for today a little bit, tomorrow a little more bit, Sunday, sorry mamas, a whole lot more.
Yeah, but you know, you can turn it into a good thing. You can cook for your mom or wife indoors and then do the family talk around the dinner table. That's always fun. When you haven't seen mom for a long time or seen the family, just around and tell stories, and you can do it while it's raining outside.
Although, it depends. I mean, that's as you get older, your moms want that. Mothers that have younger children would like quiet.
Yes.
So I've got to figure out how to get those loud Sullivan children and the loud Sullivan husband out of the house for a period of time.
Let the kids play in the rain. Hey, can I give some quick breaking news?
Yes.
We got a new nickname for Joe Biden because the president's tweeting.
Okay.
He said, looks to me like it's going to be sleepy creepy, one word, sleepy creepy Joe over crazy Bernie. Everyone else is fading fast.
Sleepy. So, because he was talking about sleepy Joe, now sleepy creepy.
Sleepy creepy, one word. It's like he's coming up with hip-hop names now. Sleepy creepy Joe.
All right. Well, also, speaking of, you mentioned the others, there's a little, if you heard the Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders thing about the federal banking system?
No.
An idea of having interest rates set and having government involved in it. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. I want to get to Wayne's phone call. He's in Saraland. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, guys. Enjoying the show as usual.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say that AOC's complaint about the federal banking system was that they didn't have enough ATMs.
That'll probably be next.
Hey, with Bobby shouting so much, I don't know that he really heard it. And you guys can clarify for me. I kept hearing the chairman of the Senate committee or whoever keep saying that the motion that had been voted on and approved was a motion to table. It was not a motion to approve any bill to present it to the full House. It was a motion to table. So if I'm against that particular bill, I'm okay with it being tabled, because what that means is that next week or next month there will have to be a vote in that committee to bring it off of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always vote no on that. It may not even make it back into consideration. Was there something that I missed?
Well, okay, here it is. Let's do this. Wayne, hang on. Let's go back to this. This is the kerfuffle audio.
In favor, say aye.
No.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Committee amendment is tabled.
Okay, committee amendment is tabled. And like you said, Wayne, that's why they're picking this back up on Tuesday, you know? But, you know, that nuance is important, because it was not a move to vote for it, but it was to do the opposite.
Right, to actually postpone the vote until a later date, right.
And, yeah, so no, good point.
I'm good with that, yeah. I don't know if he was just screaming so much that he didn't really know what was just voted on, but you know, if he sits back and thinks about it, well, he'll be like, well, okay, good.
I wonder if they made the amendments, Wayne. Okay, they you take the rape and incest out, and once again, y'all, the reason this is being done is trying to make it so it would be challenged in a court of law. But if you took those out and tabled it as it is, then when you try to remove it from the table in committee, I don't think you can change anything on the language, right? It comes out as it was edited going into being tabled.
That is correct. It has to come when, if the committee votes to bring it back off of the table, which you have to do procedurally, it has to come out exactly as it went in.
And maybe that's a nuance of it. But I appreciate you pointing that out, Wayne. I always enjoy your calls, and I need to go back and see if anybody has the audio from right before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like I've talked about on so many things. Context is so very important. Context is key. Now, in this, we know what the context is long term, right? What the debate has been long term. But what was said in the 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minute beforehand, that, you know, that might lead us to understand a little more what was going on once the audio started playing.
And Mike Kaysen, he's got some response from Representative Ainsworth there, who, that was Ainsworth, I think, speaking at the
mic. And he's Lieutenant Governor now.
I'm sorry, yeah, Lieutenant Governor. Whoa,
yeah.
Where have I been the last year? But he said that the motion put up there by Senator Clyde Chambliss to table the amendment, he said, not debatable under Senate rules, and that's because it takes three or more senators to require a roll call vote. So his exact quote was, there was a motion made to table. It's not debatable. There was not three hands raised, so we're moving on. But you're right, we would need that whole video to see. It didn't seem like they were given much time to raise their hands there.
Right. Listen, this is what does not happen as much anymore, because you're going to have kind of people, you know, running to extremes, because the one side is telling lies about the story, so mm-hmm. the other side goes and tells their lies about the story. Now, once again, let's talk about what's true. They made a move that was a slick move, okay? They caught the Democrats sleeping on this. Republicans did. That is true. But they also did not break the rules of the Alabama Senate in doing it. So that, you know, those that are claiming that this was a miscarriage of justice and they broke the rule, they didn't. Did they do something quick and faster? Yes, they did. It's like you can't find, you find the AL.com stories, and it's like the Republicans are the worst thing ever. They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made, did nothing right. This is all against the rules. And then you go look at another site, it'll tell you it's, you know, that Republicans were perfect and didn't do anything. It was all in the light of day. And it wasn't. It was legal. It was the rough game of politics. It's the blood sport of politics. But to try to pretend like, you know, there's not some nuance to it, I don't think is accurate.
And you know, there was even a little battle on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this after all of that went down yesterday, but Kyle Whitmire, who writes for
War on Dumb,
AL.com, yeah, he's War on Dumb, and he put out an article.
He hates me, huh? Because that's what he told me.
It was headlined, Alabama lawmakers want to preach about personal responsibility and owning your decisions, except when they vote. This was one of the most gutless things that I've witnessed in Alabama politics. That's his take on what happened yesterday. Well, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth commented to him on Twitter said, "Here's hard evidence why people call it fake news and don't trust the media. War on Dumb and his reporting is a great example of the distrust. It's unfortunate that he can't relay the facts and honestly describe what occurs. I've never seen more biased reporting and favor towards the left."
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, and what Ainsworth is saying, I feel it. I get that. At the same time, I think the best measure would be to go in and say, okay, did we do something? Did we do a misdirection play? Did we do a pass fake with a handoff? Yes,
yeah.
They did.
Statue of Liberty play.
All those plays, legal plays.
Mm-hmm.
So just say, yeah, we did a trick play, but we did a play that they could have done as well,
yep.
Something that is legal within the rules. And then you're at least debating truth. Then you can get into, well, I don't think that's right doing that. Okay, well, then you can get into that debate. But don't pretend the facts are different than they are. Okay, we'll take more calls on this when we get back. Plus, tariffs. What does it mean for, like, our household budgets? They were imposed last night at midnight. We'll give you details on that when we get back. And, yes, bridge tolling. What do you think? We'll tally up the votes from our online opinion poll question. All straight ahead.
Hey, it's 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5. It's Friday, y'all, on Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. And, you know, we love to talk trucks, and more trucks here on FM Talk 106.5. Let's give the SUVs a little bit of love. Some Buick SUVs that you got out there on the lot at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, Dalton, we've got some really beautiful SUVs, and you mentioned truck, and I want everybody to not forget, we have one AT4 that we're giving over $12,000 mm-hmm. off a 19 model. So definitely check that out. We still have it. Unbelievable, because it's a bigger discount anybody on the Gulf Coast has ever given on one of those. But the Buick SUVs are exciting, because we have a across-the-board discount, 16% off the MSRP. And Dalton, a lot of people don't know you can get a Buick SUV right around $20,000, maybe even $19,000, that new Encore. And the Enclave is all the rave right now. You see all the commercials on it, 16% off that. And that's that seven-passenger. And you have one called a Buick Envision. So we have three Buick SUVs, you know, something to fit everybody. And, of course, we have the Yukon, the Acadia, and Terrain from GMC. But, man, we've got a great sale. And since it's a little rainy, don't we talk about the website off air? Go to our website. It's really the easiest one to shop that I've ever seen. It's McConnellAutomotive.com. And we just like to save people not only money, but also a lot of time and a lot of hassle.
I know everyone appreciates that, and we appreciate you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Yeah, y'all have a blessed day, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive, or go to the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. You'll find McConnell on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, let's do this, too. Before we move any further, y'all get on the telephones if you're interested in some widespread panic. Win them before you can buy them. Tickets, the show coming up Labor Day weekend, Saturday night and Sunday night, August 31st and September 1st. Tickets go on sale just a few minutes at 9 o'clock this morning. Ooh. Through Ticketmaster.com or the Pensacola Bay Center box office. But you could win them right now if you're caller number 6 at 343-0106, 343-0106, and we'll give you tickets for the Saturday night.
That's Saturday night
show. That's the August 31st night, so mm-hmm. You'll get tickets for night numero uno if you're caller 6 at 343-0106.
Yeah, I know it's months off, but let's talk about that weekend a minute. I mean, Labor Day weekend, mm-hmm. Shows with widespread panic, mm-hmm. a two-night event with widespread panic, mm-hmm. and it leads into college football.
Is football start, it starts that?
I think it starts that week.
On the 31st? Does it?
I think it starts either that weekend or the very next. But, I mean, we're right there, football time and widespread panic time. What is it, lots of floppiness going on?
Yeah, that's the one thing, too. I was wondering, I mean, is this because the floppy people are going to be accepted in Pensacola like they were not in Orange Beach? Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the whole the floppiness debate? Let me tell you, I said it back then. I said, y'all realize that there's a huge contingent of that audience that are, you know, old dads like me that aren't particularly floppy. The floppy people are outnumbered by the people that are working age moms and dads and have families and all that. But, you know, listen, it's maybe it's a good move for Orange Beach and a good move for Pensacola. But two nights with Widespread Panic there and caller number six, the tickets are yours. All right. Let me do this before I go any before I get in this tariff story. I want to point out that while there was lots of shenanigans, hijinks, kerfuffles going on yesterday in Montgomery, also did something good. Alabama House of Representatives passed a resolution commending the career of retiring WKRG-TV news anchor Mel Showers.
Awesome. Okay.
So a man I consider a friend and definitely one of my mentors, for sure. Resolution was brought forward by Adeline Clark and Representative Clark out of Mobile and was co-sponsored by the entire Mobile County House delegation. It detailed Mel's many achievements in his personal life and professional life. And it read this way, and they said yesterday, "We commend and thank Mr. Mel Showers for reporting the news with a high degree of professionalism for 50 years to the viewers in Mobile, Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach television market." And that was the beginning of the resolution. After it was read, the resolution got a standing ovation from House Chambers, and Representative Clark will present the resolution to Mel today during the 6 o'clock newscast. So that'll be happening. That'll be an I sweat moment happening tonight at 6 on WKRG. Mel Shower's final newscast on WKRG is going to be May 22nd, even though I think he's going to come in for some specials and do some things, but his night after night retirement's going to be May 22nd. What a great guy. Like I said, one of my mentors in this business and just a top shelf human being. And I'm glad that they recognized him in Montgomery yesterday. Good stuff.
Yeah, how about that last show, May 22nd? You said eye sweats.
Eye sweats. Woo! Yes, eye sweats.
On May 22nd. I'm sure, but Mel is the professional.
He won't get them. No, but
he'll
I will.
Probably everybody in the studio there will too.
He's just a great guy. Let's talk about a winner.
We got a winner. Angela getting tickets to the Saturday show, August 31st, to see Widespread Panic, one of two nights at the Pensacola Bay Center. And you said tickets go on sale at 9, so you got 18 minutes. Go ahead and line up in front of the computer.
That's right. So Ticketmaster.com and the Pensacola Bay Center box office, two places to get your tickets for two nights with Widespread Panic. That show coming up at the end of the summer. Also, things happening right now. Coming up on the midday show, we'll give you a shot at winning tickets to 99. You know what, though? Can I call an audible? Because I've just started thinking about people's schedules. You know, I'm supposed to give these tickets away for 99 bottles during the midday show.
Yes.
But the deal is, that's just going to be 3, could be 4 hours fewer that you have to get over here to our studio and get the tickets and be... So I'm going to do this, even though this is probably going to get me in trouble in the back. This is not the way the plan's supposed to work, but I'm calling an audible to try to make people's lives
motion
easier.
To audible.
Yes. So I'm going to audible this, and let's do it again. Okay. Caller number 6, I got a pair of tickets for you for 99 bottles of beer on the lawn at Southern Napa tomorrow from 1 to 4. Remember, this is a fantastic event. I think I've been to 4 out of the 7 years. 99 different beers to sample from Mobile and Baldwin County, state of Alabama, the Southeast, around the world, plus live music, food truck there. Tickets are $35, available online at southernnapa.com. But if you will use our code FMTALK, just FMTALK, mashed together, Frank, Mike, Tango, Alpha, Lima, Kilo, and type those in, you'll get $5 off your tickets. So remember, use code FMTALK when you go to southernnapa.com to buy your tickets for 99 bottles of beer on the lawn tomorrow from 1 to 4. At Southern Napa in Daphne.
This is absolutely unprecedented. I just thought about it.
I said, you know, I'm supposed to give these away during the midday, but I do that, and then, you know, what if the kids, you got to pick up the kids, you got to do X, Y, and Z, you can't get over to get the tickets to get them back to the house to have them for tomorrow.
I think it's a good move. And, you know, I love 99 bottles more than just about anyone.
You won the, was it 2 years ago or last year?
I think 2 years ago I won the raffle, which I got 108 full bottles. So, you know, you get out there and you get the sample. Well, I got the full bottle for each of the sampleable beers and ciders. Those were gone in about 8 days from my house. But I also got a dog. I mean, how many people...
You did get a dog out of it. The second dog at the Orwig house came... Yes.
Yeah, how many people go to a beer tasting event and go home with a dog? Not many.
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to fall. That was not a well-hidden trap. I see it in the trail in front of me, and I'm not stepping in it.
All right, congratulations to Walter. Tickets to 99 bottles, and maybe get a dog while you're there, Walter.
Good deal. All right, on this tariff story here, and you've probably heard the headlines at this point, are the tariffs just something affecting Wall Street, or I kind of wanted to delve into it and look at what effect it might have on just regular folks like me, our budgets, you know, month-to-month budgets. Here's what the Wall Street Journal has to say today. They have a full story about it, but I pulled a couple paragraphs, I think, that are like telling you fact, right? The impact, they say, it reads this way. The impact of the U.S. tariff increase to 25% is unlikely to be felt right away here in the United States. The goods facing that increase had already been subjected to a 10% tariff since September. So we've already been paying some of that. Companies that have discussed the levies and earnings calls this year have said they had planned for the tariff increase in their financial forecast. The bulk of the goods facing increased levies are capital and intermediate goods. So these are things really we wouldn't buy as consumers, right? Circuit boards, microprocessors, vehicle parts, and machinery. About $40 billion worth of consumer goods will also be hit. All told, over 5,000 different items are subject to the tariffs. The tariffs apply to goods leaving China and entering the United States after, well, last night, midnight on Friday. Air freight shipments will be hit right away. But cargo that was loaded onto ships in China before midnight last night and already bound for U.S. ports will not be subjected to the levies, but everything leaving after that will be. But should the U.S. press ahead to levy tariffs on the remainder of Chinese imports, $325 billion worth of goods, according to President Trump, that would fall heavily on consumers. Those goods include iPhones and other mobile phones, clothing, laptops, and many other everyday products that consumers rely upon. Mm-hmm. The United States tried to keep those items free from fresh tariffs to avoid consumer backlash that could undermine the U.S. trade effort. Let me translate that. I mean, if you're the Trump administration and you're using these tariffs as leverage in this negotiation with China, the last thing you want is to have the hue and cry from all of us here in the country saying, you know, the cost of my cheap plastic thing from the big box store costs too much.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a political move.
Yeah, but I think that if the American people, which we know that as a whole, Americans just, they won't be able to put up with this. They're going to complain as soon as prices rise at all. But if we were as a whole able to kind of withstand this, however long mm-hmm. that prices are raised, China would, I think, eventually have to fold because the trade, there's a huge imbalance there. There's mm-hmm. a lot more coming into us mm-hmm. from China than we're sending out to China. Even though we have a lot of exports that are going that way, it's nothing compared to what's coming in. So if the American people were able to, you know, put up with higher prices on certain things for a little bit of time, I think, you know, we could win this trade war.
Okay, well, I want to run through that in a second. I want to finish the last thing they said, that the administration has moved carefully on tariffs to try to avoid being sued for failing to follow administrative procedures. That's another part of this. All right, so where these effects could be, they said any new tariffs would be weeks, if not months away. So this is not happening today, tomorrow, or maybe in a few weeks. This does give some time for President Trump to negotiate this deal with the Chinese to put the pressure on them, to leverage them before it does hit the consumer products. Now, one thing I got to start off with, I think the president is obviously trying to negotiate a deal here, trying to get China to cry uncle, mm-hmm. right, in this deal. One of the things, though, I know he says it for political effect, but it's just not true. He says the Chinese will be paying these tariffs. It's not how tariffs work. He's talking about the amount of money that would come. I don't even have the clip in front of me from yesterday, but he talked about the money that would come into the U.S. Treasury, you know, because China would be paying the tariffs. That's not how, I mean, that's just not accurate.
Right.
Okay. The way a tariff works is when the products are purchased in the United States, unless a bunch of Chinese people come over here to buy the products they ship from China, no, Americans will pay the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what happens. Now, on the consumer goods side, you will say, okay, here's how it could work. You go into a stalemate here, nothing gets done, the tariffs are raised, the opportunity is not for consumers in the short term. We consumers, if we continue to buy whatever these things are, we're going to pay more. But the opportunity is for American businesses to take advantage of these now higher prices, which makes it more competitive for an American business to make something comparable for a comparable price.
Mm-hmm.
So it will lead to, you know, more jobs. Although, look, it's hard to get somebody hired these days, but more jobs in the United States making whatever widget it is that is, you know, going to be price pointed very close to the Chinese product now with the tariffs. So that will bring money in that way. But it will still not be, in the short term, benefiting consumers. It's just not, consumers will be paying the tariffs that will account for the billions the president's talking about. That's just, that's how it works. So silver lining, yeah, American businesses will be able to react. People that lose in this, I would say short term, if this goes forward, we consumers of whatever households, goods, or whatever these things are, also companies that depend strongly on these imports from China as a capital or intermediate purchase to make whatever product they finally, you know, it's components to what they make in the United States. They'll suffer. Of course, American farmers and energy will suffer because the tariffs going back the other way for sending those products to China. Now, also, it's not just a zero-sum game, and that's one of the worries I've had about this. And I think the president and obviously the administration and some very smart people there get this too, but I just want to make sure everybody realizes it's not just the United States and China. It is a global economy. And so while this negotiation, or I don't think it's a stalemate yet. I think it's, I'm going to keep using negotiation. While this negotiation continues, you know that the United States, we're looking at trading or getting products made in places like Vietnam and elsewhere, India, and sent in. The Chinese are not the only place that can make products cheaper than we can here and put Americans out of business. They can do it in other countries too. So those deals are being made. You'll see more things coming in from an India or a Vietnam. In the meantime, there's a reason for the increased discussions with Vietnam over the last year. I mean, it's just the trade will go up with countries like that. At the same time, I would argue that we are not, now we are the biggest one and we're the big Megillah for China, but we are not the only market for these products made in China. So, you know, they, it's not like they'll have a, not like everything they made, they'll now be sitting on a shelf there in Shanghai with nowhere to ship. There's other countries that will not have that issue, will not have that debate with the Chinese, will not be in that negotiation process, and they will continue to buy. Now, will it make up for the entire loss, you know, of their products not being bought as high of, as high of a rate in the United States? No, but it's not like a zero-sum game where all the things China made before will have no market, because they will. It just won't be as many of them. So it's, I know it's easy just to say it's up and down and super simple, but I think it's not.
Yeah, no. On the contrary, I hear trade wars, and that even the term trade wars goes over my head.
And that's just, you know what, I think it's going to be a good thing for the United States, because you know what we need as a society is less cheap plastic crap in our house.
I think so.
I mean, I think as a society, we're better with less cheap plastic crap in our house.
So, buy American.
And less stuff, yeah. Right, 856 FM Talk 106.5, and getting ready to wrap it up on Mobile Mornings. Remember, we're online, fmtalk1065.com. Online opinion poll question pop in there, too. We'd love to hear from you and your opinion about tolls, tolls, and tolls with the toll poll up there. Time for a call or two here, though. Let me go to Bill in Mobile. First up, hey, Bill.
Hey there. Yeah, I had 2 points about this tariff thing. You know, the so-called prognosticators at the beginning of the year said that this year would be a down year, that we might even go into a recession. And I think that it was kind of a buy the rumor, sell the fact on this tariff trade deal, because my take of it is that a lot of the reports that we had with retail sales, with manufacturing, with all the things that this trade war was supposed to, the so-called trade war was supposed to deal with, you know, better manufacturing numbers, all this other type of stuff, didn't really come to fruition. But it seemed like the hype of there being a trade deal boosted the market, in my view. It seemed to raise these Dow Jones levels and stuff like that. And
yeah, I think you watched
that in context with Trump's desire to have the interest rates lowered 1%. I think we have a weak economy. Why would you lower interest rates if you're in a booming economy? And I think that this trade deal and constantly agitating this trade deal is kind of a gimmick to try to, quote unquote, you know, misdirect or try to, you know, con the market into doing things that it otherwise wouldn't do.
Well, you know, the market, though, is its own worst enemy, right? In susceptibility. But the day I tell you I understand the market, realize I'm lying to you. Because every day that I do think I understand why they did something, and then the same information comes out twice and the market reacts in different ways, I sit scratching my head. But yeah, you watch this with the trade talk, the buoyed markets, and then as soon as there was any kind of jitters, what did the market do this week? I mean, it dropped out. So
yeah,
I mean,
and the whole thing, it seems that.
But you think it's
right? That's exactly.
But, here's the problem. This is where, when everybody calls at the end of the show, we run out of time because Mike Gallagher's got to come on. We'll pick that up on Monday. How about that? Or we can discuss it on. Go to the Twitter feed, at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter, where I've just been posting pictures of snakes mostly this morning. Snakes. A lot of snake pictures.
In a jar?
No, they're in my hand. I'm holding them. Oh. Carrying them around.